Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Junk Baller Podcast. My name is Michael Greenwood, and I'm here with my good friend, as always, Kevin Otterbein. Kevin, how are you doing?
You have a lot of energy right now.
That's not true at all. That's not.
It's a lot of energy for me, from my perspective.
Yeah, I feel like you and I are very different personalities in a lot of aspects. Mm. I feel like I can turn it on pretty quick if I need it to be. But mentally and physically, like, pretty tired. Yeah. Pretty tired. Been a long couple of weeks in terms of just social and business stuff that have been going on. So yeah.
As long as you acknowledge that I'm the better one, then that's okay.
The better one in terms of what?
Out of the two of us.
Oh, just overall. Yeah. You know, like a 90, you have like a 95 overall with it. You know, I'm just a, you know, 89. You know, I don't even reach 90.
88.
All right, I'm B plus.
Would you rather be 88 or 89? Because 89, you just miss out.
I don't know. I feel like
it's like a guy when he's 5'10 or 5'11. He's like, oh, I'm just an inch away from 6 feet tall.
Yeah, I'm okay with being 89. Okay. You know, I'm pretty content with life right now. I'm pretty content. Yeah, except with the Phillies. Yeah. But we'll get into that. Yes. But Kev, how are you?
I mean, to follow up on what I was saying, I am pretty tired. But it's a good tired because there's a reason why we haven't been on the mic for so long. It's not just because of our teams, even though that does play a big part into it.
Huge part.
But it's also because we have lives and we've been living very busy lives. On Saturday, I participated in the Rocky Run in Philly, which was the first time I ever did it.
You did really well.
I did. I finished in the top 13 percentile. I think that's how you say it. It's just like top 13 percentile. For a first time, pretty good. But, man, my hammies are sore.
Yeah.
But it's good.
Nice. I'm pretty sure I broke my ankle. I have something wrong with my ankle. Yeah. Like, it's great. Every time I, like, hit the bone, it just feels like it's a excruciating pain because I'm like, that's not a sprain. It doesn't feel like a sprain. You don't hit the bone and it just is excruciating with it. So I'm pretty sure I broke my ankle at some point here. But we have been pretty busy. I've been taking over my dad's business and just that's taking up a lot of time and, you know, longer days, just really busy with stuff with church. So we have not had, I don't know, a time to just sit down for an hour and just talk baseball for pretty much the entire month.
No.
Pretty much. Like, we've had some free time at the same time, but, like, to actually sit down and talk about what has happened over the last month since we've last done a podcast, we really haven't had the motivation to do that. And to be fair, you know, I was getting ready for this just right before we started recording, and it got me thinking. This season was really a loss. Like, you know how some seasons are like, oh, that was a pretty good season for, like, you know, a mediocre team. They had a good season to, like, taking a step forward. Like the Reds, they had a good season. They made the playoffs. They took a step forward. But I feel like your team and my team, it was a big waste of a season. Complete waste of a season. Whereas I don't know where we go from here in terms of, and I don't know where either of our teams go from here. I feel like there's so many kind of just question marks, but they don't know if there's a clear answer for our teams.
Yeah. And going back to our postseason predictions, I wasn't expecting the Yankees to make it very far in the first place, but I was expecting effort. And apart from game three where, you know, they just, you know, really put a dent in the Toronto pitching, they showed no effort. The pitching side was terrible. The batting side was terrible. And like you said, it just kind of felt like a waste of a season.
Yeah.
And really, you know, not great baseball, especially at the end, which, I don't know, it just, and that's why I didn't really watch the World Series either. Which is odd because usually even after my team's eliminated, I still follow up on it. I'm still keeping tabs of what's going on. Yeah. And like people were asking, oh, did you watch that game 7? And I was like, I was asleep. I mean, I fall asleep early anyway.
That's a good excuse. Yeah, could be a good excuse.
But
yeah.
That's a good excuse for me. But like, and it's strange because there was a lot of people talking about this World Series.
Yeah.
And in terms of MLB ratings, it was the highest rating for a World Series game in like 30 years.
Dang.
Or
yeah.
Something like that. Because you have LA, which is a big market. You have Toronto, which is the biggest Canadian market.
Yeah.
But in terms of like my own interest, once my team was eliminated, I just did not have the motivation to continue watching baseball.
Yeah. I am right there with you. I don't know. Like, I also, to be, just for the record, as a Phillies fan, I listened to the Phillies get eliminated. You were in the truck with me on the way home, and we're listening to it on the radio. I have still not seen that throw from Kirkering. I still haven't watched it. I haven't seen any highlights of it. I haven't seen anything from that inning. I've heard about it. I've heard so many different perspectives from it, but I just am like, I do not want to watch it. I really don't. I don't need to watch it. I don't need to experience it in just where I'm at as a Phillies fan. I do not need to experience that. I was telling you a little bit before this, you know, I think it might have been on the I think I have this on the record from last year or something at the end of last year. The Phillies could be turning into the Sixers. And everyone, as soon as the season ended, were like, oh my gosh, they're the new Sixers because they just haven't been able to get over that hump again. They spent all that money, retooling, everything. Still can't get over that hump. You know, we've regressed every year, pretty much. The last 2 years it's been the division series, but we lost two at home this time. So I feel like that was even regression. Last year we won one at home, but this year we lost one. I was like, we can't lose at home. Everyone, the dumbest thing in Philadelphia sports or anything in sports right now is the Philadelphia Phillies home field advantage. It's just not the case. I think they've won two games at home since the Diamondbacks series. Since the Diamondbacks series. Wait, no, that can't be the case because they only had one. They had the Mets in last year, and they didn't, and this year, and they didn't win. I think that I can't remember the exact stat. I'm also going off no notes right now, people. This is all verbatim. I don't have any notes. I just, with how this podcast was planned, and we're like, we need to get a podcast out for you guys because we've had a lot of people ask, yo, when are you getting a pod out for this? When are you getting a pod out? We have not wanted to do one. Yeah. We have not.
No.
And to be fair, like we do love talking baseball. Kevin and I have talked maybe, I don't know, just a little bit about baseball. We talked about the recent news of Ortiz and Class A getting indicted. And we talked a little bit about the World Series, just a little bit. But we really haven't been.
No.
And with how the Phillies are trending, it just makes me think that this season was a waste, and especially with the CBA stuff coming up, like I have no idea what they do.
Yeah,
people have asked me, what do you think they're going to do? And I'm like, I don't know if there's an exact thing that the Phillies can do to really regain my confidence. I don't know because they had such talent. They have so much talent on that team. I don't know what exactly on that needs to be done to get over that hump. I don't know. I have so many other thoughts, but you know, it's just how it's where we're at right now.
Yeah, and it's an interesting comparison with the Sixers because with the Sixers, like they built that baseline to think they had enough talent, but they didn't really do much other than that.
Yeah,
to make themselves better, and now, where are the Sixers now?
Yeah, you know? And the Phillies were the favorite to win the World Series at the beginning of the playoffs when the Dodgers beat the Reds. Then the Dodgers became the favorites. The Phillies were number two. I mean, to be fair, I will say that the Phillies-Dodgers series, while the Dodgers won 3-1, it was like it could have gone either way in almost every game, pretty much. Like the game one, Strom gave up that three-run homer to Oscar. Like he had him two strikes. You know, he has a different pitch, and Duran comes in next inning possibly for the seventh. Duran comes in a little bit later, but you know, we had a 3-2 lead, and then the game two, gosh, why can't I not remember game two? I blocked it out. Oh, it was Lizardo pitched a freaking gem, but freaking Yamamoto, it wasn't Yamamoto, it was Blake Snell, right? Yeah. I don't Gosh, remember. Man. Yeah. This is yeah. I've been so out of it with the Phillies that it's having a hard time remembering all the games because I've blocked it out.
Yeah.
I really don't want to think about it.
I understand. I mean, at least your games were playable. The Yankees Blue Jays ones, it was clearly Toronto series. That, like they put up double digits in the first two games against the Yankees. Like Fried had nothing in game two. It was astounding to watch them just clobber Fried, who I don't think he's had great success in the postseason, really, has he? At least with Atlanta, but
I know last year he didn't, because he pitched in San Diego and San Diego roughed him up a little bit. But then why do I remember that? Why do I remember the fact that Max Fried, and not even a Philly, got roughed up by San Diego in the first or second inning last year in the playoffs?
Yeah. And I guess my other thing for the lack of motivation is just I don't have any expectations for my team to do much. I think they're not going to change anything. They're going to keep doing the same things over again with the same result. They're not going to fire Boone.
No.
They're not. Cashman's not going to get fired. They're not going to fire themselves. And as long as the Yankees keep making money, which they're always going to do, and people are going to always show up to games, why would they change that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the culture change with Steinmeier. I mean, Steinmeier made money, of course, George. But he cared about winning. That was a priority for him. Hal just wants to make money.
Yeah.
And it shows with the product on the field. And that's what really frustrates me. And that gives me even less motivation. It's like, well, why am I going to watch this team if they're going to do the same things over and over again?
Yeah.
Even next year, I mean, you know, we'll get to next year when we get to it, but I think it's just going to be the same result unless something drastic changes, but I don't anticipate it.
Yeah. I feel like your team and my team are teams that are, they're good teams, two very good teams. I'm like a range. We're good, two very good. We have enough talent. We have enough on the payroll that if we play at our potential, we're World Series caliber teams.
Yeah.
But we just seem like we can't get there.
No.
Or just accomplish it. Yeah. And so I guess my question to you is, what do you think, before we get into specifics about your and my team, let's kind of talk about baseball in general, about the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because the playoffs, like you said, the ratings for this year were best in 30 years.
I think for game seven, there was over 20, 30 million people watching the games. While World Series ratings in the recent past have barely cracked 10 or 15 million.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so it was a well-watched World Series. I had general fans that were watching it.
Yeah.
And I heard people yo, I watched the World Series. I was you don't even watch baseball. So obviously baseball had a good showing. They had people talking about it, which is a shame because after next year, they're going to ruin it with the CBA and the lockout. So the thing is, they're gaining all this momentum. I feel like MLB is gaining momentum because the NBA is losing a little bit. And the NFL is, they're still the powerhouse, but I still feel like people are slowly losing interest in the NFL. Just a tad. They're kind of getting, the product isn't as quality.
Well, I would counter to that is that the first 7 or 8 weeks of the NFL have not had good matchups.
Yeah.
In terms of the schedule, you just have a bunch of bad teams playing each other, or really good teams playing mediocre teams.
Yeah.
But I think now that we're getting into the second half of the season, and now that baseball's out of the way, you're going to see NFL come back, I think.
Yeah. Do you think that? I think that I just feel there's more, and this is all just feel. This isn't necessarily based off of any statistics or anything. The general consensus of people I talk to doesn't seem to be as the intensity is there. Just more whatever, I'll just watch. There's not as much passion behind football. Obviously the online stuff is just terrible. With people with online gambling, just gambling in general, and all the Twitter and comments and everything. Like, yeah, you would say that, you know, NFL is doing great, but just I feel that the overall, I feel like they're going to be they're losing people just because the product isn't as good overall. Like, just over the last couple of years, it doesn't feel like there's an offensive, like, the defenses have gotten better, and it's just sloppier play. But anyway, that's football. Yeah. you know, we were just talking about how we control what we talk about on the podcast. I was like, no.
I mean, ironically, like, we've been talking more football, like, amongst ourselves than baseball.
Yeah, because look, both our teams are good. I know the Packers have been really hit or miss, but the Packers are a good team, and they play. We're recording this on Monday night. They're going to be playing in 2 hours. I will be watching. But anyway, I feel that baseball gained a lot of momentum over the last couple of years with the pitch clock change, kind of the more casual fan with it. Like, they've seen an increase in, I know statistically they've seen an increase in popularity, but I just feel like it's going to hit the fan as soon as that lockout happens, because people are like, they're going to hear the reasons why they're fighting, and they're going to lose a lot of people. They're going to lose all those new fans, in my opinion. And if you don't have baseball for a full year, you're going to lose a ton of fans. Yeah. And the players are going to regret it, and the owners are going to regret it 100%. So overall, the playoffs were good, in my opinion. From what I watched and what I heard, the playoffs were good. It was good playoffs. Like, the Mariners-Toronto, that went 7 games. That was a great series. I watched some of that. That was pretty good.
Yeah, the division series went 5 games, too. Detroit and Mariners, they won on a walk-off.
Yeah. Like it was good baseball. Like, who did the Dodgers play in the... The Brewers. The Brewers.
Well, that wasn't a series.
That was not a series. Yeah, that's Brewers, why we don't remember. The Brewers were a joke. Yeah. Like, every single year, the Brewers just absolutely blow it. They suck.
Grand total of 4 runs in the 4 games.
Yeah. I have some cousins that listen to this podcast. Oh, my one cousin wanted me to talk about that one play got doubled up. With it. Do you remember that play?
In the NLCS?
In the NLCS. So there was, Teoscar was on third, and I think there was a runner on, I'm not sure if the, I think the bases were loaded. I'm trying to remember this. This is, again, no notes, people. There was a fly ball to center field. Center fielder, like, caught it and hit it up, then, like, bobbled it and hit off the wall, or it hit off the wall, and then he caught it. So, like, it was ground rule, it technically in play, like, it's not a catch. Teoscar, for some reason, just got caught and was like, oh, I don't know what to do, and then was coming home and got tagged out. And my cousin, it was a little weird because I think they got a double play on it somewhere. I'm, again, no notes. But my cousin asked me to say he was confused as why that happened. Like, what's the deal with it? Because why is it a double play? I can't remember what he said, but I'm doing this for you, Justin, to talk about it. But so if he had caught the ball, then it would have been just a regular sack fly. But because he kind of, like, I don't know what the umpires ruled it, but I think they ruled it in play. And so that's why they called that it got upheld. But if he bounces off the wall and hits his glove, it's still in play. It's not a catch. It's same thing if, like, it bounces on the ground or anything. It's basically in play. It's not a force out anymore. So Teoscar should have just tug up anyway and just gone home. He shouldn't have just been like, oh, what happened? He should have tagged home and just waited for him to, like, throw the ball in and then go home. But he got caught and it didn't know what to do. Obviously, that's harder to know what to do, but basically, as soon as it bounces off the wall, if it is no longer a force play, it is a tag play at home plate. Well, yeah, no. That's not true at all, because it's still a tag play on a sack fly anyway at home.
Yeah.
Well, no, bases were loaded, so it wouldn't have to be a tag play. It'd just be a force out, wouldn't it? No, because that's the first out. It has to be a tag. Yeah. If it was a pop... How does that work? Okay, this might be a rule thing that I actually might need to look into. So, because so say if it, it's because it might have been a force out.
But if you're tagging up in third base, right?
Yeah.
And you catch the ball, like, let's say you said bases were loaded.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I think you would still have to tag him out, though. It's not like you just step on the plate and he's out.
Yeah, but it's a bit. It's like the base is loaded. Like it's just like a ground ball, like
for a sac fly.
But like if the bases are loaded, yeah. There's a ground ball and you throw home. You don't have to tag him. You just have to force out.
Yeah, that's different because it's a grounder and not a sacrifice fly.
Oh, you know why? Do you want to know why that it is? Because the runner on first has already probably reached first base, and so the advancement has to happen. So say, because it's a base hit. Mm-hmm. I can't remember who hit it. So he's on first base. And so then it becomes a tag play, I think, with it. I had to look this up.
Yeah.
No notes. Mm. I just looked that up. Normally, I'm pretty good at this, but now that I don't know. Yeah, I had to look that up a little bit. But I just know that what MLB, it was really confusing to look at. But once it happened, you know what? I'm going to look at my text with Justin. You go ahead for a second. Yeah.
Well, I could catch you up on some of the headlines going on in baseball. So today, Kyle Hendricks retired after 12 seasons.
Hall of Very Good.
Yes.
Shout out to Hall of Very Good.
Yeah. He won the ERA title and a World Series championship during his 12-year career in the big leagues. He was drafted by the Rangers in 2011 before being acquired by the Cubs the following year, making his MLB debut in 2014.
Dang.
He compiled a 2.46 ERA in 13 starts that season while becoming a regular starter in Chicago's rotation. And he out-dueled Clayton Kershaw in that 2016 NLCS. Throwing 7 1/3 shutout innings and helped them win the World Series that year, including starting Game 7. So, pretty solid career.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hall Very Good eligible. We'll have to keep an eye on that and see how the how the voters turn out for it.
Have we acknowledged the Hall of Very Good on this podcast?
We have.
Okay, we have.
We have, yeah.
Yeah. I just want to make sure everyone knows. You should go check that guy out.
Yes.
Free publicity to this guy. I can't remember his name. But he has put together some really cool stuff with it, Hall of Very Good. Some of it's a little overblown, I'll say, but I think he's pretty funny,
yeah.
And I think he does a pretty good job with it. But yeah, shout out to that.
Yes.
All right, shout out to Kyle Hendricks. You know, Cubs legend. It's a shame he had to go to the Angels to finish out his career, but yeah. You know, it's just how it is.
It happens. Bruce Bochy returned to the Giants in a special advisor role.
Yep.
Which is, I feel like that's usually what happens when you're kind of just don't want to manage or play baseball anymore. They name you as an advisor in an organization. So
yeah, you get paid to show up and tell people how to do things.
Exactly. And that's really it.
Yeah, seriously. Like, okay. All right. I am going to look up this real quick and see what it is. All right. Max Muncy hits a fly ball to center field. Bounces off the wall, off his glove, off the wall. He throws it in. He throws it home. And it's a force play. Yeah. So Teoscar's out. And then William Contreras goes and tags third because the other guy didn't advance because he probably had thought it was just. Okay. Was that Frelick? Is that Cal Frelick? Yeah, Cal Frelick, or I can't remember his first name. Sal. I think it's Sal. But it hits off his glove onto the wall. So everyone probably thinks it's a catch. But then it's a force out. I was right. Yeah, so I think because the, so there's bases loaded. Teoscar doesn't know what to do. Then he realizes that he's got to go home. It's a force out. The other players didn't advance, but because they didn't advance, it's still a force out because Max Muncy was awarded first base because it was a base hit. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a force outside.
Well, I
of
wasn't
the tag.
Too familiar with the play, so yeah. It wasn't a sack fly because it bounced off the wall. Like it bounced off a skull, not off the wall.
Yeah.
Okay, then that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I was going off the impression that was a sack fly. I'm like, wait, that's not a force out.
Yeah, no.
It's your advance.
Yeah. So it's a force out, Justin. Yeah. So basically, because it went off his glove, off the wall. If it went off his glove, didn't touch the wall, and he caught it, then it's a sack. Then it's like it's a caught ball, and Max Muncy's out, and it's a tag play for everyone. But because it's in play and not out, it's just a force out.
Then they have to advance.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they have to advance.
Got it.
Yeah. See, right. Look at that. Maybe I should have brought notes, but I did. I totally forgot about it. So I thank you, Justin, for being a listener, even though he is a Brewers fan. He's a Brewers fan. That series sucked. I watched a little bit of that.
The Dodgers and...
Yeah, I watched a little bit of
it. I mean, I'm just looking at these scores, like 2-1, 5-1, 3-1, 5-1. Just talk about no offense in this series.
Yeah.
And I guess I got to give Craver credit his due because we thought LA wasn't as strong coming in. And maybe they didn't have like the fire or the excitement, but they still got the job done at the end of the day.
Yeah, they were. I think Kike said they're clicking at the right time with it. Like they struggled off and on all season. Like they were not consistently on offense. Like Mookie got hot at the right time. Freddie was a little inconsistent. Will Smith got hurt a little bit. Their pitching staff. Ohtani just started pitching full time, back in the rotation towards the end of the year. Glasnow was hurt. Snell was kind of hit and miss and hurt. I think he was hurt too. So and then Sasaki, he was out and back in the minors pitching, trying to figure that out. And look at that. They go. Who was their two top guys in the bullpen that they used? It was Sasaki and then Glasnow when they needed Glasnow.
Yeah. Glasnow got a save.
Sasaki and Glasnow have 100 mile an hour stuff and slider and sweeper and splitter that drops out of the zone like nothing ever does ever.
And Yamamoto pulling off I can't think of the name right now. I'm so tired.
Shut out.
Bumgarner performance.
Oh, yeah.
In game 7.
Yeah.
That I do know. Yeah. I know he did that.
Yeah, that was really impressive. Like, no day's rest. Yeah. Didn't even have an option to have day's rest. Just, I came in. I mean, I think he was going to be coming out shortly after if he didn't get out of that inning in the 10th. But, because I think they were telling me, he was going to be pretty much pulled right after. But they got out of it, and they won. It was a little bit bummed because I had left I was watching the game. I was watching the game at a Halloween party, and we left. I came home. I put on the TV, and the Dodgers were champions. So I was like, yeah. All right. So I want to get your opinion. Like, would you have rather had the Blue Jays win or the Dodgers win?
I mean, I got to say the Dodgers. Yeah. I mean, just because they're division rivals for one, they beat the Yankees and they beat them hard. And they showed the Yankees to be the frauds that they are. I mean, Buck Martinez started that mini controversy about how he said the Yankees weren't a good team. That should have been the impetus for them to be like, we're going to kick the Blue Jays butt. But no, they proved Buck Martinez right. They weren't a good team.
Yeah.
And also, you know, they have George Springer, which, you know, not my favorite baseball player ever. Maybe he's a decent person outside of baseball, but like in terms of a baseball player, not a fan.
Yeah.
I respect the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Because I think I've mentioned this in other podcasts. They have a lot of fight. You watch their at-bats. Yeah. They're going like 8, 9, 10 pitch at-bats, and they usually win those out. And when you win those at-bats out, you're very hard beat. And they took the Dodgers to 7 games. They were only a couple inches away from winning the World Series.
Two outs away. Yeah, and then Hoffman he had no location over his slider in that game.
Yeah.
He couldn't locate it, and then he hung one right down the middle. Like, who was it? Rojas. He was definitely not looking fastball. He was only looking, I would say he probably was looking fastball, but then he saw that it was a hanger.
Yeah.
So it's easy. He's probably looking anything away and low. Like, I'm not swinging. But hanger, easy.
It was right there.
Right there. Yeah. Ugh. I kind of feel bad for Jeff just because he's a former Philly. But as soon as I saw him missing location, I was like, yeah, he's going to hang one because he's not. I think it's a slider.
they also have Phillies legend Sir Anthony on the
team. Yeah, he pitched too. Yeah. I was kind of, that's kind of why I was rooting. I didn't care if the Dodgers had won, really. Like, I was probably rooting for the Blue Jays to win. But, you know, it also is like, as the Phillies lost to the Dodgers, I'm like, all right, you know, Phillies lost to the team that won it all. And the Phillies could have come, they should have won that series. They should have. Like, even the Dodgers were like, I couldn't believe we took two in Philadelphia. Like, yeah, they didn't expect to win two games in Philadelphia. They were literally going in expecting to lose one. How can you do that? Sorry, this is why I didn't want to do a podcast about the, because I'm just so worked up about the Phillies. No, I shouldn't say I didn't want to do a podcast. I'm okay doing a podcast and want to get our thoughts out, but having to rehash what happened, I don't want to relive that.
Yeah.
So before we get into what you and I think our teams need to do to change our minds, or even if they can, or even if you just say, no, they can't change my mind, let's talk about what just happened this past week, actually the past couple of days. Luis Ortiz and Manuel Clase, they have both been indicted by the was it the federal government? Is that what it's called? Or what? FBI, whatever it is. Yeah. They've been federally indicted on sports involving in sports gambling, dating back to 2023.
Yeah.
So this is not like a this happened this year and they got caught. This has been happening for 2 years, almost. I think it was May or June of 2023. So 2.5 seasons of them blowing it and blowing pitches. I think it was $450,000. There was total of winnings or something like, or placed bets or something like that.
Yeah, I hope it was worth it.
Yeah, seriously, I don't get it, especially for Class A. Yeah. Like, I don't get it unless someone had dirt on him on something, and they're like, no, you got to do this. Yeah. There was literally, that was actually funny. So, Luis Ortiz, he struck out someone, or he threw a strike, or he threw a ball, but he swung at someone, swung at it. I think it was Volpe. And you can hear Ortiz curse after it. He's like, you're like, wait, why did he curse? He's just struck out Volpe. Why would you curse? That was what happened. He lost money on it.
Yeah.
Like, that's so bad for the game. If you don't understand why Kevin and I are against sports gambling, this is why.
Yeah.
Because it ruins the game.
Yeah, and you see some of Class A's pitches too that they allege he, like, you know, had bets on, like, they weren't even close to strikes. He was, like, spiking the ball into the ground. He was throwing it away on clearly on purpose, not trying. Yeah.
The main thing is, this is what we know is happening. This is the only thing that has come out. Like, the NBA has kind of saved the baseball right now with this happening, because the NBA had bigger scandal with the coach and Rozier. Like, who could have seen this coming? Who?
I did.
Oh, my gosh.
It's from a mile away.
I hate sports. I hate it so much.
I was listening to another podcast, not really related to baseball, that was talking about the sports betting issue. And one of the interesting points they brought up is, like, people think that they can regulate things like gambling.
Yeah, no.
It's like the sin tax, right? Like, we could regulate gambling. We could regulate, like, alcohol sales and things like that. And people are always going to find a way to bend the rules and break the rules and get around the rules.
Yeah.
Because sports betting is an addiction and it's dangerous to people. And they set up in such a way that you almost always lose, but you keep putting money into it anyway.
Yeah.
A great example of that is that they're now putting a betting limit on baseball wagers. This came out today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, The sports books are establishing a nationwide $200 betting limit on baseball wagers centered on individual pitches and prohibiting such bets from being included in parlays in an attempt to decrease the incentive for manipulation. It's this idea. It's like, we still want to have the revenue from the gambling, but we don't want the bad publicity.
Yeah.
Heck, ESPN Bet is going away now.
Yeah.
Like that's going to be gone soon.
Can I say something before you continue?
You can go ahead.
So I saw this the other day. This was on Twitter, and this is back checked. The total amount of wagered money on sports in the U.S., not just baseball, this is sports in the U.S., in 2024, $148.7 billion.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't think this is a problem,
yeah,
I'm sorry. Come talk to me. This is a big problem because how much of that is guys in the NBA or guys in Major League Baseball or guys in the NFL who are tipping pitches or missing shots or fumbling footballs? We just don't know who is doing it, but 100% it is happening more than we think. Yeah. It has to be. And it is affecting the game that we play and the sport that we watch for fun. But we, as the stupid people that we are, we decide, you know what, I'm going to bet like $20 on this game that I have no interest in, but I want to see this guy get a touchdown. And if he doesn't get a touchdown, I'm going to be so angry and so mad and write to him on Twitter or Instagram and tell him that his family needs to die. It has happened. The Giants kicker literally was like, yeah, ever since sports betting has happened, I've gotten so many more death threats.
Yeah.
That's unhealthy. Yeah. It is pathetic.
Yeah, I mean that's the bigger consequence. I mean, there's a big consequence to fixing games and the athletes that are participating in it, but it has much more negative effects on the common fan.
Yeah.
On the money that they're losing, how it's affecting their family and their friends and their just their well-being.
Yeah.
You know, once they allowed it in I think it was 2018, it was like the court case where they kind of just allowed it outside of the normal Nevada, New Jersey kind of sports betting. It opened up Pandora's box. There is such a thing as a slippery slope. I know it's a baseball podcast. I won't get too much into it, but it's true, though. It's like once they opened that up, the consequences are now going to start pouring in.
Yep.
I think this is just the beginning.
Oh, 100%. We could talk about it for hours because I've heard so many people's different takes on it, but I just cannot see this ever being a beneficial thing. Like I'm not a huge fan of fantasy sports just because I feel like it ruins your interest in the game. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh my God, this guy needs to get points or I'm gonna lose or something like that. But there's not really that much at stake. There's a little bit of a punishment, they have to sit and eat pancakes for 24 hours or something like that. That's fun with it. But this is literally people's lives that are just like, oh my God, I need this parlay to hit or I'm gonna lose my house or something like that. Like that happens.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's terrible. All right. Let's talk about what our teams need to do to convince us to change our minds for 2026. Mm-hmm. If there is a 2026, who knows? Maybe the lockout will happen a year early.
What's more depressing, sports betting or my team's prospects going into the next season?
Mm-hmm. All right. So I'll ask you this. I'll ask you, can they change your mind if they do the things that you want them to do? Or even if they do the things you want them to do, will you still be like, it's not enough?
Well, the things I want them to do, they're not going to do.
Okay. All right. Maybe I'll ask you this. Is there anything they can do that can change your mind on 2026 for the New York Yankees? Yes or no?
Anything they can do?
Yes or no? Do you think that there is something they can do that's realistic for them to actually change your mind on your outlook for 2026?
Okay. Well, as we stated before, they had both our teams have talent. I mean, on paper, the Yankees should be winning at least 90 games a year and making it to the post, making it far in the postseason.
Yeah.
I think one thing they can do, which may give me some hope, is focusing just on fundamental baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, base running and getting small hits. And, not making a bunch of errors in the field.
Mm-hmm.
That's what really cost the Yankees a lot of games this year. Was not necessarily giving up 10, 11 runs, which, they did here and there. But the main thing was watching Jazz Chisholm get caught at first base on a sack fly in the infield.
Mm-hmm.
Or people dropping balls. Or catchers throwing the ball away.
Yeah.
Or committing a bunch of balks. It's all the little things that it's costing this team. And I think if they can actually just take a breather and not be focusing on just getting the number one in home runs and all that, because I know that's something they take pride in. It's like, oh, we, Bronx Bombers, they hit a bunch of home runs. Well, great. You can't throw to first base.
You got the yips.
Yeah. Yeah, like a Chuck Knoblauch.
Chuck Knoblauch, yep. That's what exactly what I was thinking. Yep.
If they could start, like, maybe just getting back to basics and building, like, a strong fundamental team and going the distance like the Blue Jays do and not just striking out on four or five pitches each at bat and trying, that might give me a little more hope.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think that's one thing I could think of right now that would be realistic.
Gotcha. Okay. So just right now, what do you think the biggest realistic move they're going to do? Just one move that you think that they're actually realistically going to do.
Like in terms of like acquiring a player?
Yeah. Because they're going to have to make a move.
Yeah.
They have to. It's the Yankees.
I don't even know who's available in the offseason.
Well, are you gonna re-sign Bellinger?
I don't know if that's happening.
Okay.
Your
starting pitching staff is pretty solid. It's pretty solid.
I know, I'm not worried about that.
So like obviously it's gonna be your lineup or getting someone in the bullpen.
Yeah, I mean there's a couple of questions in the outfield, you know, Grisham, you know, they're going to offer like a qualifying offer for him,
which is wild to think about that.
Yeah.
Trent Grisham's getting a qualifying offer of 21. What is it? Is it at 20 now?
I think it's something high because he hit 30 home runs last year.
Gosh.
So there's a couple of questions there. I heard there's like that one Japanese player.
Oh yeah. He's got like an 0.96 batting average with fastballs above 95 or something like that.
Well, I think it was a hitter. It was like a hitter who was setting like home run records in Japan.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's got some pop.
Yeah.
But he's a terrible defensive. Yeah. He's basically a DH.
Yeah. He would fit right in.
Yeah. The Phillies should sign him. Yeah. All they want is DHs. Yeah.
I would love to see the Yankees get someone like him, I think, because the Yankees in general have had decent success with Japanese players.
Yeah.
Like with Matsui, with Kuroda, with especially Tanaka, like guys like him. I think the Yankees usually do pretty well when they try and get someone from Japan. And Japan's producing a lot of talent.
Yeah. All right. So it's Murakami.
Murakami.
Murakami. Okay. His first name is Muntaka Murakami. Okay. That's his name. He officially was posted this week. And they have, I think it's like 45 days to do it. I'll have until December 22nd to agree to deal. He is 6'2", 213, and he has slugged 246 home runs in 892 games, including a 56-homer campaign in 2022. He took the Triple Crown that year at the age of 22. All right, the teams that are expressing interest are the Yankees, Mets, Mariners, Phillies, Giants, and Red Sox.
The usual.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, my gosh. Why are the Phillies he's a third baseman, I think, right?
He can play first base, but I don't think that's his position.
He's played bulk of his games at third base, so some believe he'd be better suited at first base in the majors. Oh, gosh. Just another thing we need. Another aging, slugging. Actually, I don't know how old he is. He's young.
He's young. Yeah, he's 25.
He's 25?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's young.
Yeah, I'm wondering. I mean, it'd be real. I feel like if he signed with the Phillies, I feel like that'd be such a Philly thing for, like, him to get them to get behind. Like, we've never been able to get behind, like, a Japanese, like, foreign player, really.
Yeah.
We haven't been. But I feel like Philly would be like that team where, like, he just becomes a god to the Philadelphia fans. Like, but also if he does terrible, he just would be, he'd be kicked out.
Yeah.
He'd be like, go home. Yeah. All right. Do you think the Yankees, if the Yankees got.
I think that would definitely add interest.
Yeah.
And an exciting young player.
Yeah. Exciting young player.
Maybe he'll add a little bit of energy.
Yeah.
Some pizzazz.
Yeah. I'm wondering what like the projection is for him to sign is. Like what do you think
there's an Asian team fee.
Yeah.
Like
I know. But the thing is only like in terms of like position players, they haven't been getting as much as the pitchers. The pitchers have been getting more.
You think he can make nine figures?
Oh yeah, I think it's going to be nine figures. Yeah. It's home runs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's going to get nine figures. Do I think it's going to be like 200? It better not.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money to with it. Cuz I feel like a pitcher is sometimes has a better chance to break out of it than a hitter does. Like if a hitter has two bad seasons, they're pretty much screwed. Pitcher can revamp and reutilize something, but a hitter, I don't know. I probably think probably like the 150 range, like 100 to 150 in there. I don't know how many years, but probably 7 years, 150. Nah, we'll see. But yeah, I guess for me, for the Phillies, given that you know, I just asked about the Yankees, you know, if there's anything to change your mind. For me, I feel like, is there anything the Phillies can do that can really get me, like, to change my perspective on 2026? Not really a ton. I don't know. Even if they did everything that I think that I want them to do, like, I want them to get, they were going to get rid of Tyrone Walker and Castellanos. They're both gone. I know they're going to try to trade him or DFA them. Like, it's just, or release them. That's just what's going to happen. Even if getting rid of them, you still have to fill those spots. I know Castellanos was a negative war this year, and he basically was a almost not a cancer, but like a distraction in that. Also, we got to talk about the commissioner getting basically threatening Harper too. All right, so they get rid of Castellanos and Walker. You know, Kyle Schwarber is going to get a lot of money. And all of a sudden, we went from sign him a blank check to half the people don't want him anymore. Mostly because he didn't do great in the postseason other than that one home run. But I think the Phillies are going to get Schwarber and JT back, and they're going to let Ranger walk. But I just don't see this team really... Like, they need Alec Bohm to do something crazy. They need him to get better. Otherwise, they're going to have to trade him and sign someone. Like, they need, like, a jolt of something. Like, Harrison Bader was a kind of a jolt that helped them a lot. Like, it felt like it. I think that if he plays that series with the Dodgers, I think it's a different series. I know it's weird to say that Harrison Bader would change the outcome of the series in the playoffs, but I really think that his energy and his defensive ability was just what the Phillies needed, and they didn't get it. Hopefully they re-sign him, but we have a couple prospects. I don't know if there's even anything. Even if we went and got, because Zach Wheeler's not going to be the same pitcher. He's not. I hate hearing people talk about, well, Zach will be back next year. That surgery that he has, it is not a good surgery, people. The thoracic outlet syndrome, Matt Harvey had that surgery. And Matt Harvey turned into crap. I think there's only been one pitcher that's been successful after they've gotten it. I think it's like 1 out of 7. I don't expect Zach Wheeler to be the Zach Wheeler of old for the Phillies. I don't expect it. It can't. Nola's really hit or miss. I don't trust him anymore. I have been a Nola supporter for a long time, but I don't trust him. You got Lizardo, who's really good. He's got a contract here, even though the lockout's looming. I expect Lizardo to do well. Christopher Sanchez going to finish second in Cy Young to, Pirates pitcher.
Skeens.
Paul Skeens, which he deserves it. He's fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, the rotation's going to be okay. Gonna be fine, even if we lose Ranger, because we have Painter coming up, and we'll be okay. Bullpen, we need to get more guys and not just go sign an old aging reliever and pay him $10-15 million like Craig Kimball, Jordan Romano, and Blake Treinen back. No, it wasn't Blake Treinen. It was what's his name? It was a former Brewers closer back when Girardi was manager. We can't keep doing that. You got to go and sign like a couple guys to like three-year deals that are proven. But you got to spend some money on the bullpen to back it up. But this offense just isn't going to be the same. This offense, they're aging Harper's going to be another year older. Turner's going to be another year older. Schwarber's going to be another year older if we re-sign him. We're getting old. We're old. Yeah. Ugh, I don't know. I do not know if there's anything that the Phillies can do. Even if they went and signed Kyle Tucker and brought back Schwarber, I don't think that would even... I don't know if that... Like, that would get me like, yeah, all right, sweet. That's great. But I just don't know.
Well, maybe similar to how I feel about my team, do you think there's anything they could change on the field that could, you know, sway you one way or the other?
Thing is, they were a really good team in the regular season. There wasn't anything that they did, like, super poorly. You know, they went out and got and they fixed the holes that they needed. They got Duran. They, you know, the offense started clicking kind of towards the end of the season. You know, the base running was a little bit hit or miss. Like, they had some really bad base running errors. But, you know, Trey Turner improved his defense. Stott's a Gold Glove caliber defensive player. Harper's a Gold Glove finalist. That's a joke. I know people think that Harper's a fantastic fielder, but I'm sorry. I'm taking it five first basemen ahead of him for sure in Major League Baseball as better fielders than him. Six, because that's the sixth finalist for Gold Glove. But he's done great, but he is not a Gold Glove caliber first baseman. And I'm a big Bryce Harper fan. I love the guy, but he is not a Gold Glove caliber first baseman. Yeah, it's, you know, our defense is fine. Our defense is fine, but, you know, we had some base running miscues and just timely hitting. We struck out with the base. I think we were, I don't know if we had a grand slam this year. I can't remember, but we did not do well. Oh, Castellanos had a grand slam. I remember that early in the season, but we just did not do well in timely hitting. I think we scored a lot of runs. I think we had a good average of runners in scoring position, but it would be singles and they wouldn't score. So we just were not timely enough for it.
Got it.
Yeah, I got to look up that stat, but I'm pretty sure I remember hearing in the middle of the season, like we were good with runners in scoring position. Like we had scored runs, but we just weren't getting RBIs when we were hitting with runners in scoring position. And also, if you take out Schwarber, we really don't have a ton of power. Harper's a home run hitter, but he's not a slugger. Like he's only had one or two seasons above 35 home runs, and then the rest have been like high 20s. Like you got to have someone that's like Schwarber is averaging at least 30, 40. We need another guy like that. So probably the base running, but even then, we were a good team. We just haven't gotten down the playoffs. Like we were a good team.
Yeah.
Like there was nothing, like we had all the talent that we needed. Like maybe the lineup was a little bit thin, but even then. But yeah, that's my thoughts. All right. I won't get into the Harper getting threatened by the commissioner's lawyer, yeah, or something like that.
We've had enough sass in,
yeah,
this podcast.
It's been too much, but yeah. Well, hopefully you enjoyed our no notes podcast, even though we did bring out some notes because we wanted to clear up some things. Yeah. But I hope that you enjoyed the playoffs. Whoever, yeah, you watch, whatever you watched, whichever team you root for, I hope you enjoyed the playoffs.
Yeah. Don't take our bitterness as a barometer of how good the baseball was in the playoffs, because it was really, really good baseball. It was just our teams failed to live up to our expectations.
Yeah. I think our team, the teams we've said before, like at the beginning of the podcast, the team's not leading up to expectations and then kind of just life getting in the way. It just has us kind of down on baseball in a little bit, but we still love the sport.
Yes.
It's still our favorite sport. You know, we will be paying attention to all the things. Like I've seen notifications. I just am like, all right, but I still care.
Yeah,
I still care about, like, I'm also with the CBA looming. Like I just,
we'll have to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. So I hope that you enjoyed the playoffs. I hope that you enjoy the off season with a lot of moves that are going to happen. You know, baseball is going to change. We don't know what to expect with the free agency with the lockout looming, because you know, players are going to be looking for long-term deals, but teams might be like, you know what? I don't want to pay you a 2-year deal because I'm going to lose out on money with it. So It'd be interesting to see. We'll definitely have some off-season podcasts. I know we have some guests that I want to get on. I will be the blame for that. I have been trying to, I've courted some people to talk to on this podcast. Hopefully some people that have been in the minor leagues and some national teams. So, again, hope you listen. Hope you enjoyed the playoffs and hope you enjoyed listening to us, and we will catch you later.
Indeed.